Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style. Here's John Lopez and Reginald Adetula.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
We will go around the NFL in just a moment, but apparently the question of the day lives on because people had more and more to say about it. The question of the day being, who or what would you give up for a Texans Super Bowl? And a lot of folks weighed in, and then also got to the place where somebody was like, they would give up deer hunting and their sister-in-law, since that's an option.
Okay.
But then
maybe you can combine. No, I'm just kidding.
Y'all got some bad sister-in-laws,
right,
man.
All right.
No, I've got some amazing sisters-in-law. Yeah. I've got amazing sisters-in-law.
But one of them is just...
And I got one that's a complete waste of space.
All right. Still spite. Till, I would not say it that way. However, I am not John Lopez.
That's right.
Some other people asking, would Lopez give up bird watching?
Yeah, I probably would. It's kind of my... It's like.
Are you that type of bird watcher, though, or are you just kind of glancing?
No, I'm pretty into it, but not like I'm into it like barbecue and fishing.
Memories of Gibson?
I wouldn't give up any memories of Gibson, absolutely not. But the birding is like number 4 or 5 on my depth chart, you know, of just things I like to do just for fun.
Then people took it to the spiciest place, and there's two levels of this, right? This one from 314, would you give up sex for a Super Bowl, sex for a year?
I mean...
All right. All right. And we move on to
around the NFL, Sports Radio 16.
We move on to the next level. Would you give up C.J. Stroud if it meant winning a Super Bowl? Meaning you win the Super Bowl, but you have to release him after.
That is a fantastic question.
Yeah.
Like whomever you are, that's 832 you said? Or wherever, whomever you are, that is a fan.
I think that was actually on the YouTube.
It was on the YouTube.
Yeah, shout out to Clint McCarver.
That is a fantastic question.
That's a tough one.
Because it's a true dilemma. Like
both, is this a Brad Johnson type of Super Bowl?
Yeah, both options are bad in a dilemma, right? If you don't give him up, well, then you don't win a Super Bowl, right?
You're not guaranteed to win a Super Bowl.
No, well, he said, would you give up C.J. Stroud to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Well, that means if you don't give him up, you still haven't won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean...
You know what I mean?
Maybe you would at some point.
Well,
right?
but you still hadn't.
You wouldn't be able to guarantee it.
But if you do give him up, you got the Super Bowl, but your chances of getting another one are pretty much out the window.
It could just be a one-hit wonder.
Let's make ourselves answer this. Just for entertainment value. I'm curious where you two guys lie. Or do you want to hold it for tomorrow?
No, let's go ahead and answer it.
This might be wild to say, but I don't know if I could give up C.J. Stroud. Because
you hadn't won a Super Bowl
You might win one, but it might be a Joe Flacco situation where you just get that one and maybe don't get back or something like that. I feel like C.J., I'd rather roll the dice with C.J. for a possibility to get multiple.
Well, you haven't answered it yet. Yes or no, you would give up C.J. Stroud.
He said he would not give up C.J. Stroud.
I would roll with C.J. Stroud.
And what's funny is I recognize how there have been great quarterbacks that have not even made a Super Bowl, talk less of winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen before. And I still think that against like what I think is the reasonable expectation of if you want to get there, go ahead and take the guarantee, the 100%, as opposed to like the possibility. But the possibility with C.J. Stroud feels like there's going to be a solid window. And it feels like there has that high watermark is the Super Bowl. I think I stick with C.J. Stroud also because you win the Super Bowl and you have to release him. And now what does the team look like? Are they fun? Are they good? And I think that there's value to being good, you know, over and over, even in instances where you don't win the Super Bowl. So I think I would.
So no,
I'd go no.
No. I got to get a Super Bowl.
Okay. Oh man,
I got to get a Super Bowl.
That's okay. Wow.
I got to get a Super Bowl.
Well, I don't know, as we go around the NFL, I don't know if this is the same way that Denver is going to view it, as their starting quarterback is now Bo Nix. That has been named, he has been named by head coach Sean Payton in Denver. The rookie Bo Nix will be a starter in week one in their regular season opener against the Seattle Seahawks. He is the first rookie to start in Denver for the season opener since John Elway.
How about that?
In 1983.
I keep saying one of these quarterbacks is going to stink. One of these top quarterbacks in the first round is going to stink. I'm not so sure we have any signs that they are yet. Like, I don't know if Bo Nix is going to be any good. I'm not a big fan, but he's starting for Sean Payton.
Yeah, but if we're going to be like Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, I was about to say, what's the other option?
I don't even know if he was competing there, if we're being completely honest. The tough thing about Bo Nix is, like, I think that there's clear limits on what he's capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Seth was talking about this, I think, during the course of the week, the idea that, hey, man, he's not doing anything incredible. Like, it's very limited things, short passes, and he's doing what's necessary within that. But it's not like the types of things that we think about when we think about a game-changing quarterback.
Yeah.
And so I think the highest level that you can expect from him is sufficient. And that's not inspiring.
That's not inspiring.
Who is a good quarterback? That's a dude that's old and made it through college. Eventually, like, he ended up being a good college quarterback simply by being the dude who's been here a while, the dude who has more experience than anybody else, the dude who's capable of just kind of staying within the realm of what's possible.
It sounds like somebody that should have been drafted in maybe the third round or something like that. That's not really focused on being a starter, but somebody that could step in and start some games.
Yeah, I said I'm not real high on him, but the dude is starting. Maybe he does have those limitations. I'm not going to disagree with you, but that's a big leap for a rookie right away out of the chute. But there are reasons why you would want to start him. You know, we talked about him yesterday with the contracts and such.
Yeah,
you know, find out on him
for sure.
Find out.
And it's not like the Broncos have very many other options that are incredible. Mm-hmm. Jarrett Stidham, you've seen plenty enough of to know basically what he is. Zach Wilson. Good luck to you if that's the way that you wanted to go start a season. So, it makes sense. I'm just I'm interested to see if he's capable of doing any of the things that Sean Payton typically wants from a quarterback, or if it's just going to be like so-so as a starting quarterback. I did say that we were going to try and fix your viewing situation.
Mm-hmm.
If you do have $600 to $700 and you are interested in NFL Sunday Ticket, right? The NFL Sunday Ticket. It's with YouTube TV now.
Yeah.
And apparently YouTube TV and Sunday Ticket have done some things to help make it better. One of the things that YouTube TV does really well and people really liked in various situations, college football Saturdays included as well, the multi-view that they're added, where you can take your TV and turn it into four TVs in a way, because they'll put up four different broadcasts within a box. But I don't know if you guys are familiar with the YouTube TV multi-view. It's not fully customizable. Like, what they did was they gave you options.
You got options of what you can get.
Multi-views, and that kind of limited you, right? Because you would have a multi-view setup that was three games you're really interested in, one that you hated, or two games you're interested in and one that you didn't care about, but there was another game somewhere else that you would like to put in there. And you had that same, or in theory, you had that same situation with the NFL. But now, YouTube TV will feature a more customizable multi-view option for NFL games when you have Sunday Ticket. And so that's going to be obviously make that Sunday Ticket and that
makes it a more attractive.
Absolutely, way more attractive. Yeah. So you can really put the games in that you want and watch those simultaneously.
No, I agree. I think if you're willing to invest in it, that is a much more attractive way to watch the NFL.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Some news that we got today that's going to be important locally for a certain Texans cornerback. A.J. Terrell for the Falcons. He got paid. He got his bag. He's going to get a very nice contract.
81?
I believe that is the number, 81. And if I remember correctly, it is 65 guaranteed. Let me make sure I have that right. 65.8 effectively fully guaranteed. That makes A.J. Terrell the second highest paid cornerback in NFL history, according to Ian Rappaport.
Had a great second season. Has been very consistent. 65 guaranteed is an enormous number, and drafted two classes ahead of Derek Stingley. I mean, that's the one we're thinking about. So, you know, Stingley, the way, you know, he's been staying healthy, it's going to be, boy, those numbers are going to get big with this roster in just 2 or 3 years. You know, Will Anderson, Stingley, obviously, you know, CJ Stroud. I mean, those numbers are going to be big, big, big.
Yeah, and so that's something that I don't envy Nick Caserio and the front office for this Texans team. Obviously, they're already having to do some of that, and it seems like they're erring on the side of make the dudes happy, get the guys in, give them what's necessary. As we saw, I mean, even Jimmy Ward got another year on his deal this past week. And so it seems like they're erring on that side, but there's going to come a time where there's going to be real hard decisions that are going to have to be made with all of the young talent that you have on this team that you're going to have to pay according to how the market sees them. It seems like the market sees a high-level cornerback getting paid very, very highly.
And obviously, I mean, that's the one right there that you're going to be watching. I know Derek Stingley took note.
Yeah, I would have to imagine that he did indeed take note. You mentioned this when we were talking pre-show as well. Denzel Ward, cornerback, still in the hospital right now after his fifth concussion.
Fifth, you know, I guess reported known, reported, confirmed, whatever you want to call it, concussion. Isn't he 27? I think he's 27 years old. I hadn't been in the league all that long. And five confirmed concussions.
Since 2018.
I think you can probably triple that number. You know, in terms of like actual or at least triple that number in terms of actual concussions he's had. It might be time, man.
Yeah, that feels like
it might be time.
And the crazy thing about it is like that these are the ones that like full concussions that are documented.
He's hospitalized.
We know with the CTE, the concerns that, you know, players will have, that those are even the subconcussive hits that don't reach this level. So that was already a concern, I imagine, for a lot of players. And then you get to the place where these are just full-blown concussions. We've seen many a player decide to, you know, call it quits because of this level of, you know, concussions. And so, yeah, I mean, you wish him well, and the idea that these things would put him out of, you know, out of play for, I mean, a week just off of a concussion alone, man. You have to wonder.
I mean, it's just horrible.
Time
it's just sad and horrible. But you know, obviously, people say, well, that's what they signed up for. Well, they didn't sign up for, you know, five concussions. They know the risks. That doesn't mean you know the extent of what that risk might end up being.
Sure. Yeah, it's sad. And look, I think Denzel, I think he got his bag at one point. He got the contract extension and all that stuff. If I was him, I would be looking.
Yeah,
looking maybe life after football at this point. I got my money, my family is good, but I can't keep going through that.
No, that's life and death, man.
Yeah,
that's life and death
for sure. And so I know that he's 2 years into like I guess this would be year three of a really high paid. I mean, probably the highest paid cornerback in the league. Like, but ultimately, your health is way more important. And so I wish him well. And obviously, I can't make that decision for him, but hopefully he makes the best decision for himself and probably takes care of his health.
Yeah.
Some other things that were going on around the NFL. I found this to be interesting, even though it's not like entirely a new phenomenon, but the Falcons in their practices are using cameras on their quarterback helmets to get a different perspective.
They're big, too. Did you see the pictures of them? They look like those like the little square cameras that people have on their bikes and stuff
like a GoPro.
GoPro.
I think technically the ones they're using aren't GoPros.
Yeah,
like
but
DJI
it's kind of that size.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the opinion on this is almost like obvious, like cool. Like any information you can get that's going to help a quarterback, you know, be able to see what he saw, help coaches be able to see what the quarterback saw is good. Falcons are an interesting team anyway. To me this year, they're a team that's gained a lot more interest you know, since the draft. Like in the draft, I was like, what the hell are they doing,
right?
You know, and now they're adding players. Michael Penix, all of a sudden they're not even playing him because they're like, we know what we got in him. Like, what, you know,
and got even more talented by acquiring Matthew Judon.
Yes,
right, like that NFC South.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be the most Atlanta thing ever if they don't win the NFC South.
Of course it is.
Because it's theirs for the taking, isn't it? Yeah, like, Carolina Panthers, we're all still in that place. We're like, good luck with that.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers, they did some good things, but I don't know how sustainable is that actually. And then the Saints.
I don't believe in the Saints at all.
The Saints have been in cap hell for, I believe, a decade.
Yeah, so. I don't believe in them at all right now.
That feels like a division that they should win, especially with all of the talent that they've acquired. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's a team that I find that interesting. I know that I believe the Dolphins in the past have used similar things, and mm-hmm. I've one other team that my memory is not serving me on right now. But I did find that interesting, just seeing another instance of them utilizing that added added camera angle to get a little bit more of a.
I ain't gonna lie, man. I guess selfish me want to see that in the real game. Like,
yeah, that just, would be.
I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah, me too. Yeah just have that QB. Vision,
mm-hmm. yes.
Just throwing the pass and all that. I think that'd be some good camera work. Yeah.
As long as it doesn't end up looking like, you know how MLB added the umpire cam?
Yeah.
And then they go to it and it's like, I'm not actually seeing anything.
See the dirt.
Right.
They're looking down. They're
this
looking
is a found footage horror film now.
Yeah. Right?
Like this is not useful to me because I'm not mm-hmm. actually seeing what's happening. Also because it's a wireless camera that doesn't have mm-hmm. like the best quality sometimes.
Yeah.
But if you give us a high level quality, that would be huge. And even though you're not going to get all of it, because one of the things that Michael Penix mentioned mm-hmm. in the story that I saw was that he was looking at the camera view and he was like, this actually doesn't show me what I was seeing, because sometimes you're looking off.
Corner of your eye.
Right. You're looking off the safety or something.
Yeah.
And then you're, using the corner of your eye or whatever. Yeah. But I think that it could still give us a really interesting
gives you
insight.
Good perspective of the throws, like Figgy was saying, like what he was looking at when he made that throw.
Yeah, just imagine looking at CJ Stroud, what he's looking at.
Ooh, buddy.
Left, right, run, and then throw. It's just like, wow. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm the quarterback.
Can you imagine, like, Tony Romo or Tom Brady? It, you know, in the booth, and they're like, let's get this replay. So what you see here, he's looking at, and now you get another level.
You see he's covered up right here. So he looked to the right, and he's wide open.
And why did he throw it when a guy was covered? Well, he's throwing him open, all that stuff, you know?
That would be absolutely gorgeous. So, I would love that as well. So, cool thing that the Falcons are doing, but it's just practice video. However, we've seen a few teams do it, and I think, Figgy, I think you're 100% right. I think that these broadcasters should absolutely mm-hmm. look at that and think about how can you maybe add that to what's happening. Although I do imagine in our world of digital espionage, that putting cameras on the quarterbacks that go to the...
It would be attempted.
Oh, boy. They'd have to take some big steps to make sure that there is
it
no
would be
attempted. Play.
No doubt.
There you go. That's around the NFL here on In the Loop. On Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, the Astros unfortunately dropped the game in Verlander's return. And also, are some familiar issues resurfacing for this team?
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll discuss it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
Leadoff hitter against Criswell, and he drills one to left field. That's good! Welcome back, Briggy! Into the Crawford boxes at 9-1.
As if he never left. Still scorching hot. He likes it spicy in August. Briggy bomb to get things going.
Yeah, there you go.
Big time.
Love seeing Alex Bregman back in the team after, dealing with that, that elbow thing. And we'll talk more about that as we go along. Astros, unfortunately, though, that's the only time that they crossed the plate.
It is.
4-1 was the score in favor of the Red Sox yesterday. We got to start that a little bit when we were out at Twin Peaks watching that one. But, yeah, Bregman gets a home run. But that's all that the offense could do for Verlander as he returned, to the team, got an opportunity there, and it started. It looked like he was gonna have a little bit of trouble. We were talking about
he started rough.
How far can he go in this thing? He started really rough.
He was in the 40s in the second inning in terms of pitches, settled down a little bit, didn't go much further than we could have possibly hoped. 5 innings, that's about what you could have hoped for. Then obviously, you know, Alex Bregman, you know, got him going with that home run, and you're thinking, all right, Bregman is back. Like you just heard there, it's as if he never left. Well, then you heard later, you know, about the gremlins, you know, the gremlins that are affecting his elbow. And so when you look at Alex Bregman, and he's so important to this offense, as we've talked about with the bottom of the lineup kind of struggling again and having struggled, you're like, all right, well, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
You know, he can just DH and he's going to hit home runs. You know, he's going to drive in runs. But the problem with that, there is a problem with that. If he's DHing all the time, man, you're kind of running out of spots. You know, I know Whitcomb can play third and all that other stuff, but like you're kind of running out of, you know, what are you going to do with Yordan all the time? He's going to be in the outfield the whole time.
Yordan's going to play a lot of left
then. A lot of left field. It's just sort of
Yainer Diaz when they want to get him out of catching, he basically has to play first.
It kind of just messes up. What's that word my wife uses all the time? The fun, is it the feng shui?
Feng shui.
Feng shui.
Okay.
You know, kind of the vibe, kind of the feeling of this team. So it's on the surface, it's like no big deal. He can still swing the bat, but it kind of just, you know, sort of disrupts the cart a little bit in terms of how you approach every game.
Yeah, and along those lines, if you give me cut nine here, Figgy, like Bregman was talking about, like how much he's going to end up playing third base.
We'll see. I feel like the rest of the year is going to be kind of just a fluid situation. Take it day by day and see how it feels every single day and kind of make a decision as it goes. Through today for the first time, arm felt good. Didn't feel any pain or discomfort or anything. But yeah, it's just going to be one of those things. Take day by day and kind of see how it feels the rest of the year on forward.
So yeah.
So there's some elements there that are a little bit alarming. Through today for the first time.
Which was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so you hadn't really been able to throw. The rest of the year, you know, it's going to be fluid. Which kind of tells me, being the amateur radio doctor that I am,
sure,
you know, that there's probably, is it some, you know, is it a bone spur? Is it, you know, the inflammation is still there and all that. So it's just sort of like alarming. I mean, I was gonna say not alarming, but yeah, it is. It's a little alarming because I think he's going to have an up and down. Some days are going to be better than others, you know, in terms of swinging the bat. Yesterday was no problem, but I think some days are going to be better than others. So, yeah. A little alarming.
And that's swinging the bat. And talk less of like playing third base
exactly.
And actually playing the field. And one of the things that makes that tough is not just the spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you have him DHing a lot. I happened to stumble upon some of the most improved defenders from last year to this year, mm-hmm. according to Fangraphs WAR.
Okay.
And Bregman is on that list. He has seen a pretty solid uptick. I'm not going to get into like the numbers of it necessarily, but his WAR last year defensively was 2.4.
Yeah.
He's up to a 7.3, which is pretty solid. And that's a pretty good jump there. And he defensively gave you some solid play at third. And in his stead, you've seen, you know, Shea Whitcomb try and play some third. And not that he is bad necessarily, but we've seen some errors happen at third base for him. So, like, that's another thing is, like, what's the defense that you're putting behind your
pitching? The defense. And then obviously, you know, your DH is going to be occupied. It's just... just sort of things, you know, in general with the Astros, you know, we've all learned our lesson this year, no one more than me, about the Astros. But there are some things that are sort of cropping up that you just got to maybe not doubt them, but kind of put a pin in that. You know, Bregman being one, obviously how the lineup shakes out outside of the DH position being another. I think starting pitching is another, because we're starting to traipse into that territory of they've never pitched this much before. Rono Blanco, he's thrown 134 innings. He's never thrown that many innings ever. You know, even I was looking at his minor league numbers, you know, over the course of an entire year, he's been around 134. So he's traipsing into that territory of never having done it. Spencer Arrighetti, he's closing in on a career high of innings pitched. Hunter Brown, who threw a lot of innings last year, you know, he's a higher leverage guy that is counted on much more, and so even he is already at 100 and something innings, almost a career high. So, You got pitchers that have never really gotten to this territory. You got the thing with DH, with the DH, and how you're going to do the lineup. Just put a pin in that. I mean, that's one of those things that you're just going to have to keep watching with this squad.
Yeah, and again, gremlins, right? Like,
yeah.
That is what is where it is. But you talked about starting pitching, and maybe that's why it's interesting that earlier today we got news that Hector Neris, who had been cut by the Cubs, will indeed make his way back to the Astros. That's a dude who this year his ERA is a 3.89, which isn't atrocious, but we were talking to Spo yesterday. It's like, hey, it just hadn't looked all that great this year.
Yeah.
Well, he comes in. I mean, his whip is very high, 1.52, right? Like, he's putting dudes on base and such. But, I mean, he's going to have an opportunity to come in and give you another option, right? And just to see another thing to throw at the wall and see if it sticks.
See if you can work some magic with him.
Especially when it comes to, you mentioned, you got a lot of pitchers that are hitting the top end of what they have thrown historically. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be the same level of quality, or does that deteriorate at all?
Hey, come on down Kyle Tucker, too. That's another one where you can certainly use that extra bat. Maybe there's going to be a day where... And there will be. There will be days where Bregman's going to have to maybe sit out because the elbow is maybe bothering him more than normal. You need that extra bat. You need that Kyle Tucker. Because you can't have Yordan going 0-for. The thing about yesterday's game that was kind of indicative of why the bottom of the lineup struggles.
1-for-4 for him. Alvarez.
And I think he struck out.
He did have a strikeout as well.
With the bases loaded. It's like everything has to be perfect. You know, right now with the bottom of the lineup struggle. So, yeah, come on down, Kyle Tucker. Get well, Alex Bregman, and see what you can do with that.
Yeah. So those are some things that we're looking at there and some of the maybe familiar things that are you're seeing pop up for the Astros. It's still a really tough stretch for them as well.
Yeah.
Right? As they 18 games in 18 days, they've gotten through another series here, but they turn the corner and they've got
Orioles.
They've got the Orioles coming up. I think they have the Phillies as well.
Holy moly.
Although the Phillies came out of the All-Star break and they just were not playing all that well, but we know them to be a good baseball team.
Yeah.
So, there's a test here, and this team has to find a way to get through that with, you know, a six-man rotation because you've got guys that did not go very deep. Your bullpen is lessened because of that six-man rotation because there's no days, there's no breaks in between.
There is some really good news. The Mariners stink.
They sure do.
Good gravy.
Dodgers put a hurting on them.
Good man.
If the Mariners showed up without bats, would it go about the same?
It'd look about the same.
Okay.
Dude, you know, they're 500. I think it's 64 and 64. They were like walking away with this thing. It started June. It wasn't even that long ago, you know? And now they're a 500 team. Unbelievable. They stink.
Yeah. What a weird division that the AL West has been. So shout out to the Astros, at least continuing to have that 5-game lead in the West. And just wanted to return to Verlander real quick as we kind of wrap this thing up. Mm-hmm. Like, Verlander, we did mention he started slow, but he started feeling himself a little bit better. And he actually talked about that as well. Fig, I believe this is cut 14, about how he was feeling early and then how it started to get better as he went along.
Yeah.
Particularly, the slider, once I started getting a good feel for it, I felt like it was, I really only threw one bad one to Abreu in that last at bat, and he put a good swing on it. But other than that, I feel like pretty much every one of them was where I wanted it. Things started to settle in a little bit. First inning, obviously Duran, super hot, and extends it into a double and then scores on a blooper. And, just trying to find my way. Obviously, it's not the way you want to start the game. But not like there was a ton of hard hit. Second inning, similar. And just kind of kept telling myself, all right, just find your groove. And went back out for the third and really started to find it and really settle in.
Look, you got what you needed out of him yesterday. It didn't work out. Got the L, but you got what you needed out of him.
Yeah, and against a Red Sox team that makes pitchers work as well.
Yeah. So
it's good. And,
boy, Duran is...
He sure is.
He's pretty dang good.
So Verlander seems to feel like he could have gone more than 76 pitches, the 76 pitches that he did last night, yesterday, which is a good thing that hopefully you're working to a good place with him. But there you go. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can have tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So there you go. Yeah, man. Astros have it, unfortunately lose that series.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, what, 3-3 on the homestand before they go on the road here?
Yeah, well, good thing they're going to the road. They that's where they've excelled. That's for dang sure.
Especially Jordan. Jordan hasn't hit a home run.
It's like June, right? Yeah. I saw that this morning, and I was going to, I didn't even mention it because I was going to double check to make sure it was right. So I'm glad you did, because I was like, not since June he's at a home run and at home. That's wild.
June 22nd.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's 2 months.
Wild.
So hopefully he gets back here and can, you know, change that angle on the launch because he's still hitting the ball hard.
Yes.
But just, you know.
Yeah, you talked about that yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Astros. That's what's happening with them. They'll be back on the road tomorrow in Baltimore against the Orioles. But coming up next, we'll get to what's popping here on In the Loop. Sports Radio 610.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
Here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Datatula. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday. I did say in the last segment that the Astros were in Baltimore tomorrow, which they are, but they're also in Baltimore today. I forgot. We're in the midst of 18 games and 18
You weren't wrong.
I'm technically correct.
Yes.
Which is the best kind of correct. But, you know, they're playing today. They're playing tonight.
See, so. Ain't no travel time around here.
Yeah.
That's why they had the getaway game yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. The afternoon game. But, yeah, it's what a time, man. This is quite a stretch for the Astros. Hopefully they can get it done tonight. And in the course of that, while we're also revisiting this, someone brought up with the Bregman's history and of injuries. Is it possible that that can make him a little bit more manageable or amenable to taking a deal that's a little bit less spicy?
Willing.
And possibly get him to remain an Astro.
No, I'm actually thinking he's going to be more willing to play this year to maybe gut it out more to show the world. You know, that you know, he's not going to be, you know, injured and missing games in such a crucial stretch. So I'm looking at it more in the short term. Like, it's going to help the Astros. He's going to be out there. He's going to figure out any way possible to play because it's potentially financially beneficial for him.
Do you think he'd be so willing to do that maybe he plays first base?
See, that's a big ask. Right?
For Bregman?
Yeah, that's a big ass.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, I mean, that could help some things out as we're talking about.
Oh, because we're talking about the DH.
I guess if he feels comfortable enough to play in the field.
Like, it would be third
just go
base.
Ahead and play him at
but
third base at that point.
But you're not necessarily throwing your body around as much. I mean, I know you're stretching and all that stuff. But, no, I'm with Figgy. I don't think that's going to be – if he's going to be on the field, he'll be back at third base. We'll see how it ends up playing. I think the DH thing is going to be a big factor.
Okay.
It's going to affect a lot of other people.
All right, well
– yeah.
In What's Poppin', I found this to be really interesting. Not an Astros thing, but a general baseball thing. As one of my favorite players right now, Ellie De La Cruz of the Reds, he did something memorable yesterday.
That's the one that De La Cruz is going to run on. There he goes. The pitch is down. The throw down is offline. Ellie De La Cruz takes third base. And that is a monumental steal. That's his 60th swipe of the season.
Man.
60 stolen bags.
It's been a while.
It's actually hasn't been too long of a while that we've had that particular or 60 bags, especially he has been the second player since 1990, the fifth player all time to get 20 home runs and 60 bags in a season. Of course, the season continues. The last person to do it was last year, Ronald Acuña Jr., funny enough.
Yeah, but you just don't get a lot of big time guys that can steal bases like that.
In fact, quite literally.
Yeah.
I mentioned five players have done the 20 home runs, 60 bags. Do you have any idea who these players might be? I kind of want to put you to the test.
Ooh, five?
There
since
are five.
1990?
And yeah, or five. No, two since 1990.
Okay.
Five since, I guess, 1973 is the year when.
Oh, okay.
It.
Well, since 1973.
And you have two of them because I told you Ellie just did it.
Ellie.
Ronald Acuña Jr.
Acuña. Ricky.
Ricky did it three times, mind you. 1985, 1986, and 1990.
Dion
did not. So
I'm
I was going to shoot in the dark and say Barry Bonds because I know he used to steal a lot.
Yeah,
I don't know if he had 60 though.
Yeah, that's a big number, right?
Another football player. Hold on a second. Let's see. I know I got to get one more.
Okay.
I got to get one more.
All right. So one of them's in the '70s. One of them's in the '80s.
I'll be here all day.
Okay.
Okay. Lopez. What's his name? From the Dodgers.
It was not.
Oh.
No. You want me to just give it
yes,
to you?
Give him
I feel,
to me.
I feel
yeah.
bad in that
yeah,
right now. I feel like I'm torturing you. Eric Davis in 1987.
Bingo.
Joe Morgan, 73 and 76. But yeah.
What are we doing here?
You look at it and that is 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 times.
I said Lopez. Maybe Lopez is who I was thinking of.
That is 9 times in a season where a player has had 20 home runs and 60 stolen bases. Tim Raines didn't do it either. It's 2-1. But now Ellie De La Cruz joins that, you know, pretty special company of people that can have that level of power to have the 20 home runs, but then also get on the base pass.
And he is, it's interesting you say, you know, he's a player you've been watching a lot. He is a fun player to watch.
And it breaks my brain. Well, first of all, the thing that I love in baseball is I love seeing dudes get on the base pass. Mm-hmm. That's an easy way to.
I love old school.
Exactly.
Stealing bases. Maybe not the bunting as much, but I'll take it.
Sure. But it also is fun to me. Like, that's a dude that is, if I remember correctly, isn't he 6'6"? Ellie De La Cruz, like, I know that he is definitely
he's big.
A very big boy. Why? Just do we make him that big and fast? Like, why do we do
and
that? That's
position.
Not natural.
Playing short? That position, yeah.
Like, how does that happen? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was a really cool thing that happened just yesterday for the Reds and for baseball, really. Ellie De La Cruz, 60.
I'll never forget last year, Figgy, remember? I bought tickets to watch the Astros because De La Cruz was coming in specifically for him. They sat him out. Sat him out.
Man,
I bought tickets specifically
See,
to watch him.
This is what's killing baseball.
I'm telling
it's all this
you,
load
man.
Management.
Load management.
Plus, he was young. I got it. But I was like, well, damn.
My favorite moment is Snoop being on the call. He was doing a little PBP. I actually have that audio. Mm-hmm. He was doing a little PBP, and he was super impressed with my man.
I came in where the players come in at, because I'm a player. Get up in there. Oh, he's safe. He can't throw that. He ain't got no arm like that. No, he don't.
No, he does, though.
No, he don't.
Oh, he does.
Who is that with Devin Rocket?
De La Cruz.
Oh, Lord.
With a howitzer.
He got a rocket in his pocket.
Man,
oh, he made that.
Got a rocket in his pocket.
Which, yeah, that sounds.
Who is that?
But yes, I identify very much with that feeling of, hey, what? He did what?
Yeah.
Oh, he ain't going to make that play. Ain't no way. He said no, he did,
is
and,
what he said.
And he sure did. So yeah, shout out to Ellie De La Cruz. 20 home runs, 60 bags on the season and counting.
Yeah.
Doing it for those of us that like seeing stolen bases in the game, in the modern iteration of the game, especially.
Yeah.
We talked about this a little bit earlier, but again, this is a note to watch, especially if you have cap ramifications in mind for the Houston Texans in the future. Atlanta Falcons continue to be movers and shakers when it comes to this ahead of this season, as they agreed to terms with A.J. Terrell on a 4-year, $81 million contract extension, according to NFL Network. That's right. Big money. And if you want to make sure, if you know, kind of pocket watching, you're like, yeah, but they don't always get all of that. Well,
he got a lot.
Effectively guaranteed 65.8 of that. So he'll definitely see that. But yeah, he's the second highest paid cornerback in NFL history. And like that, look, that's the type of numbers that someone like Derek Stingley, especially if he is going to reach the heights that it looks like he's starting to, you know, be on the trajectory towards.
Oh, no, that's a baseline right now for him.
These are the numbers that we're going to start looking at.
I mean, if he is what we think he is, and he's not showing any signs of not being that, that right there, that's the baseline. That's where we start talking.
20
yeah, that's where we start talking right there. Yeah. And the other thing about this move, in terms of the Falcons, you know, I've said a lot this offseason and preseason, like the Titans are acting like a team that's contending, but I don't think they will. The Falcons are acting like a team that's contending and will. Like, I think they're making all, they're like, they see a window of opportunity and they're like, yeah, we got to do it right now.
Wait, okay, you say contending and will, like, when you use the word contending, we're talking
in
Super Bowl.
In the division.
Though. Okay,
yeah, division.
Because I was like, but it's worth noting because the NFC ain't the strongest, right? Like, the Texans are going up against some heavy hitters in the AFC. Obviously, even if you just look at quarterback-wise, you went up against the Ravens last year. Of course, you still have the Chiefs, the Bengals. I don't know. How
a lot of questions in the NFC.
Bills, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, NFC, who are the top dogs over there? Clearly the Niners, but the Rams?
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling about that? I mean, Cowboys?
Eagles? Yeah.
You know, Packers are on the upswing. Lions are an interesting one.
Lions are probably the favorite, right?
Yeah, I mean.
With the Niners.
Yeah. And so there's some room there. I don't know that I necessarily put them exactly on that footing, but I guess it remains to be seen exactly how
they're acting like it because there's an opportunity, whereas the Titans are acting it like it And I don't see that. I could be wrong, but I don't see that opportunity. By the way, where did Ayuk end up signing? That's done, right? It's been a couple of days ago that he signed. Where did Ayuk sign?
I don't think Ayuk signed.
No, I know he has.
I was going to say, you said it so confidently.
You thought I was doing a gotcha. You thought I was doing a gotcha. No.
I was like, did I somehow miss? Because I feel like the way that the Brandon Ayuk story has gone along,
where did he sign?
If he did sign, it'd be huge. I was like,
He was going to sign 3 days ago, 4 days ago, right?
Oh, he's going to get traded a few times.
Traded,
as well.
I don't even know what he's doing.
How'd that end up?
At this point, I'm like, what do you want, man?
Dude, what's going on?
I'm just kind of like, what's the dude in The Notebook? Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah, he's making me feel sympathy for the team.
Yes.
Which is it's a rarity. The way to operate.
That's a rarity.
Because I'm sure they're like, okay, we would like to pay you. He's like, nah, I don't want that number. Okay, you want to be traded? All right, we lined up some trades for you. Are any of these work? Nah, not really. We're trying. We want to make you
happy.
It seemed
like they wanted to trade him from the beginning.
The Notebook reference is perfect. I hadn't even thought of that.
Like, what do you want?
What do you want?
It's not that simple. Like, bro, what do you want? All right, let's see if we can sign you at this point.
Yeah.
Like, damn, we had the trades lined up.
So you're telling me it hadn't been done yet? Okay.
No, it sounds like.
I don't know what this dude wants.
It's only been an eternity.
Yeah, it sounds like it has not been done yet.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about this. Caleb Williams, who, for all intents and purposes, has looked really good. Looks like he's at least as much as you can, you know, garner from training camp speculation, you know, practice type stuff, and then preseason games. He looks like he has the goods and he will deliver, at least when it comes to like the flashy, fantastic things.
Oh, he'll be flashy.
So those types of things. Oh, well, yeah. Flashy on the field and maybe flashy in another way.
Yeah.
Is there audio here or is this just the note of
there was. You don't have to play it. Basically, you got it, Figgy?
I ain't got it.
Yeah. Okay. Don't worry about it. Basically, he was on, I think it was a Pat McAfee show and said he's going to paint his fingernails for every game. And he's going to have a special one for the Packers. Which,
sure, of course you got it.
It's going to be similar to what he did against, who was he playing? OU?
Yes.
Or I forgot who he was doing that to, what team it was.
It's going
to
be initials that are basically going to be, you know, not an acronym, but short for...
Forget you.
Yes. Yes. FDM or something, whatever it is. So how do we feel about your starting quarterback, who I think is going to be very good? I've actually kind of softened my stance on this. And it was never really like, oh, what a loser. It was just kind of an eye roll.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, you know, Gen Z, still don't get them.
New dudes.
I've gotten every generation, you know, from my generation to the older generation before me to the generations behind me.
This is where you stop.
I've gotten them all. I'm out. So I'm just like kind of gotten to the point where I'm like, all right, you do you.
Yeah,
we here now.
Yeah, you do you.
That's what it is.
That's absolutely what it is. This is very new dude. And I mean, more power to him. Like, I think that this might fall in the category of, in the words of the great Deion Sanders, look good, feel good.
I guess.
Play good.
And
when you play good, they pay good, right? Like, if that's what works for you, that puts you in the mindset that you feel like helps you play well, I guess go for it, man.
I don't get it. I'm all the way through the X's, man. I mean, I've gotten all the generations. I'm like cool with it. You know, I get it. I understand it. Z, I'm out. Z, I'm out. I just don't get it.
Before we flip it back around to the Gen Alphas,
are coming up.
Okay,
Alphas are coming up.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, now the nail painting itself is one thing. The idea that he's doing things particularly to poke at the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Are you on the bulletin board material thing? Like, does that feel like that matters to you, or is it just
I don't know about bulletin board, but I actually like it because at least there's a purpose there, and at least there's going to be some great trash talk, you know, from the opposition.
See,
you know,
this is a little bit different because this one thing, do it in college.
Yeah.
But man, you in the NFL with some grown ass men that's probably around 34, 35 years old.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, what is this kid doing?
These guys.
Like, all right, I'm about to show him something.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm here for, is that part. Like, you know, even Danielle Hunter, you know, let's say, you know, he sacks Caleb Williams. That's going to be fun. That's going to be kind of fun to watch that.
Hey, man, just make sure you ball, right? Like, there's a lot of times where we talk about various stories around this, and I think there's even more times where it ultimately boils down to make sure you ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because if
better
you
back
ball,
it up.
All this other stuff, like, you know what? If they ball, you might see Bears fans who otherwise thought this was nonsense start painting their nails along with them, right?
Well, you absolutely will.
If they ball.
Yeah.
And if they don't, it'll be an issue, I'm sure, of some sort.
I think it will.
That ultimately.
He had that damn fingernail polish. That was like when Arian Foster went vegan for like 2 weeks. If he wasn't a vegan, he'd be...
Clearly, he's not getting enough protein. That's why he didn't see the hole. Right? Like, what happened?
Exactly.
Yeah, so shout out to Caleb Williams. Hope that that works for you. But there you go. That's what's popping here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into it. Obviously, joint practice completed now, and head coach D'Amico Ryans has talked. So what did we learn from joint practice? And also, what did D'Amico talk about? We'll hear that next.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.